opening move in an enterprise that resembled a game as much as a war, a game whose goal was to discover its own rules. A lot that happened over the next 2 years was difficult for we merely normal people to understand. In a way, the conflict ultimately would be almost Darwinian, one ecological niche contested by two different species. Actually, we were subspecies, Homo sapiens sapiens and Homo sapiens pacificans, because we could interbreed. And there never was any doubt that pacificans was going to win in the long run. When they began to isolate us normals, who would be the subnormals in less than a generation, Marty asked me to be the chief liaison for the ones in the Americas, who would be populating Cuba, Puerto Rico, and British Columbia. I said no, but eventually gave in to wheedling. There were only 23 normals in the world who had once had the experience of jacking with the humanized. So we would be a valuable resource to the other normals who were filling up Tasmania, Taiwan, Sri Lanka, Zanzibar, and so on. I supposed eventually we would be called Islanders, and the humanized would take over our former name. 2 years of chaos, stubbornly resisting the new order. It all sort of crystallized that first day, though, after Claude had taken the little girl in to jack completely two-way with her brothers and sisters in Building 31. It was about noon. Amelia and I were dog-tired, but unwilling, almost unable, to sleep. I certainly was never going to sleep in that room again, though an orderly had come by and discreetly told me that it had been tidied up, with buckets and scrub brushes, and a body bag or two. A woman had come by with baskets of bread and hard-boiled eggs. We spread a sheet of newspaper on the steps and assembled lunch, slicing the eggs onto the bread. A middle-aged woman came up, smiling. I didn't recognize her at first. "Sergeant Class? Julian?" "Buenos dias," I said.
"I owe you everything," she said, her voice shaking with emotion. Then it clicked, her voice and face. "Mayor Madero," she nodded. "A few months ago, you saved me from killing myself aboard that helicopter. I went to La Zona and was conectada, and now I live, more than live, because of your compassion and swiftness. All the time I was changing, these past 2 weeks, I was hoping you would still be alive, so that we could, as you say, jack together." She smiled. "Your funny language. And then I come here and find out that you live but have been blinded. But I have been with those who knew you and loved you, when you could see into each other's hearts."
She took my hand and looked at Amelia and offered her other hand.
"Amelia, we also have touched for one instant."
So the three of us held hands in a triangle, a silent circle. Three people who almost threw away their lives for love, for anger, for grief.
You, she said. "No hay palabras. There are no words for this."
She let go of her hands and walked toward the beach, wiping her eyes in the brightness. We sat and watched Madero for some time, our bread and eggs drying in the sun, her hand clenched tight in mine. Alone together, the way it always used to be.
The End. You've been listening to Forever Peace by Joe Haldeman, narrated by George Wilson. And thank you for being a Recorded Books reader.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.